had been news you can use. This is news that you'd probably like to hear more about today's world. So now, for today's top story. As reported in the New York Times, one new television show in Japan boasts young women in bikinis who attempt to smash aluminum cans in between their breasts.
Yeah.
Another television show in Japan brings a young boy on stage to tell him that his mother has been shot and killed, to see how long it takes for the boy to cry. And I wonder what they think of married with children, or a simple life with Alexis Paris Putin. Actors are not even actors. Come to think of it, I wonder if Anna Nicole Smith would ever be sober enough to be able to smash aluminum cans and clean her silicone breast. Come to think of it, with reality TV and with Jerry Springer, maybe I shouldn't be complaining so much about Japanese television. For our next story, from the Los Angeles Times, two gay men during sexual activity decide to put the live hamster into the anal cavity of one of the men. However, when they realized that they couldn't get the hamster out, they tried to figure out what they could do. So the man of the hamster inside them decided to light a match to see if he could see what a hamster was. So the man without the hamster perched underneath the man with the hamster's anus, and he would light a match, and he would a match. And right at that moment, the man with the hamster inside him cast wind, which caused a small streak of fire to come out from the match, burning the man without the hamster's facial hair and eyebrows. That fireball then shot into the man with hamster, circling around the hamster and burning the anal cavity of the man with hamster. Seeing the pressure did then cause the hamster to shoot out of the man with hamster directly into the man without hamster's face, breaking his nose. Now, if you're hearing stories like this, you're probably thinking that we here at Star Trek and you've created these stories. But we want to assure you that Stars Internet News is not going to be creating things. We're supposed to be a reputable news source here, and we get our information from any place from, AP to regular newscasts. Sometimes we'll get reports from other people, from correspondents, but we don't make up these stories. In fact, we made a point with this next story that you're about to hear that we're including a lot of details so that you know that we're not making up these stories. Because of this next story, California's Dr. John Ronald Brown had his medical license revoked in 1977 and then was later in jail for 3 years. Brown led potential patients to believe that he was a practicing medical doctor, and he would allow his transgender surgery because of his low prices. But John Ronald Brown was not only a doctor for transsexuals, but also for people with the sexual gratification fetish of having an arm or a leg amputated. In one case, a 79-year-old Philip Bondi paid $10,000 to have his leg amputated in Brown's Tijuana clinic. After the surgery, Bondi was taken to a San Diego Holiday Inn for his recovery, but he died in a hotel in less than a day. So John Ronald Brown, at this point aged 75, was charged with murder and for practicing medicine without a license. Now, after his arrest, homicide detective Gary Stovall found in Brown's San Ysidro apartment a blood-stained couch and bloody towels soaking in his bathtub, as well as blood trails, medical supplies, and his surgeries on video cassettes scattered about on the floor. Inside, it isn't even videotaped him performing a surgery, even though you could still hear the patient during the surgery moaning and howling in pain. A Northern California businesswoman witnessed Brown operate on an HIV-infected patient once. And in another case, Brown used too much erectile tissue to construct a genital outer lip for a transgender patient. And as a result, whenever the girl got excited, her labia got hard. People went to Brown because he didn't sleep enough to put silicone injection holes with crazy glue. Because he wasn't technically a doctor, he never asked questions, and he could have the operation you always wanted done. Atlanta-based transgender author Dallas Denny said that pansexuals knew him as Tabletop Brown because he operated anywhere from kitchens to garages to motel rooms, and patients would even wake up on patient after surgery in a parked car. And everyone knew that there was no screening and no aftercare with Brown, which may explain why no one watched over the ailing Philip Bondi. After a Saturday morning operation, Bondi was happy at first, though he later said that he felt Brown's sign on his leg. Brown's office was in Mexico to avoid American law, but right after the operation on Bondi, to hide the evidence, Brown drove 15 miles out into the desert toward Ensenada, taking Bondi's leg and throwing it out of his car window where the coyotes would eat. Bondi was left at the Holiday Inn in San Diego Saturday evening, but was found Sunday morning lying half on the bed and half off. The wheelchair was turned upside down, the bone was tipped over, the sheets were pulled out, and blood was oozing from the blackened and gangrenous remnants of his leg. For you see, he was infected with a gaseous gangrene, a fast-moving, flesh-eating bacteria which eventually stopped his heart. So in October, a San Diego jury found Brown guilty of second-degree murder. But people still have their fetishes, and someone will always be there to take advantage of them. Stuart, Florida, was witness to another new account of a woman in medical need. Emergency medical technicians were summoned in August to a home with a grossly overweight woman. And not only were the doorways too narrow for this 4'10", 480-pound woman, but she had not moved from her couch in several years. The fabric had adhered to her skin. They transported her and the couch to the hospital, but she died during their attempt to free her. He reported a story about a fat woman who sat naked on a pork chop bone once and didn't notice when it lodged itself amongst her folds of fat. Years later, when she felt a sharp pain and the doctors couldn't figure out what it was, they opened her up and found the pork chop and realized that her skin just eventually grew over it. We have one more story from our correspondent John, who reported on September 2nd about an older white woman who, after shopping, saw four black men in her car. Well, trying to be safe, she owned a gun, and so she took it out of her purse, pointing it at four men and telling them to get out of the car. The men left, but she soon realized that she was not at her car. So she found her car at the parking lot a few minutes later. Feeling bad about what she had done, she drove to the police station to let them know what happened at the grocery store parking lot. And she told the story to the police officer. He laughed and pointed out the four black men at the other side of the station reporting their carjacking by an old white lady. No charges were filed. It was reported on October 27th. That a group of Jehovah's Witnesses lost one of their members. In this small religious group of Jehovah's Witnesses, they chose to test their faith by standing in the middle of traffic. The premise was that God would keep the traffic away from them. However, one of their members stood on I-55, professing their belief to the oncoming traffic, but one motorist wasn't listening or watching. As reported in Los Angeles, California in November, one group of Christians apparently wanted to truly be like Jesus and try to learn how to walk on water. day by day, these Christians were trying to get closer to God and become a leader of this small Los Angeles group, while practicing walking on water in his bathtub, slipped and died in his own washroom. Dateline, Pennsylvania, January 23rd. William Bartman was a 25-year-old businessman that was sent by his employer as a handyman to a Bethlehem home for a basement renovation. While using a miter saw, a cumbersome circular saw, his concentration faltered, as did his aim, and he sliced off his hand. Losing his hand was so traumatic for him that he decided to shoot himself in this kind of statement. William shot himself in the head at least a dozen times with a pneumatic nail gun. The homeowner eventually went downstairs to check on the basement renovation. The basement seemed empty, but their dog discovered William curled up in the corner without a hand and with at least 12 nails coming out of his skull. This was the Dateline in South Africa in April. Now, carjacking is common in South Africa, and the law is permissive with liberal self-defense, which allows lethal action for damaged personal property. Now, because carjacking is so common in South Africa, security systems for cars included poison gas, acid showers, flame throwers, and even automatic gunfire. Well, one security system used an airbag, but it was located at the car roof. The driver had to disable the airbag before starting the engine, or else that airbag would inflate, hitting the potential driver in the head with enough force to knock them unconscious. That happened to resident Peter Newell, who, pistol in pocket, tried to steal the car. The airbag exploded, but Pieter thought that the noise of gunfire shooting at him for trying to steal the car, so he instinctively fired his pistol twice while it was still in his pocket. One bullet hit his knee, the other lodged in the face of his penis. And there's no report on if the airbag ever hit him or knocked him unconscious. Now, we should pay attention to this one. People with access to either pool tables or handguns should listen very carefully to this story. In February, a 26-year-old Russian man tried to enter a bar in Tomolino, which is near Moscow, but he was carrying a concealed gun. Now, the security guard at the front of the bar stopped him, and he seemed to threaten the guard when he was there with his gun. But the guard was fast moving, and he kicked the gun out of the man's hand. The gun landed on the pool table after the kick, and the guard asked the player to pass the gun back to him. Well, one of the pool players decided to pick up the gun with his cue stick. What they didn't realize is that by sliding the cue stick through the trigger hole, that the gun would just slide down the cue stick until the cue stick was thick enough to actually pull the trigger. So, he picked up the gun with his cue stick, the gun was closer to him and fired one shot, shooting a 19-year-old in the chest and immediately killing him. After that, the gun murderer said he planned on surrendering the gun anyway because he wanted to be able to enjoy a drink after all.
Yeah.
I love gun stories with this one. They say that people who legally own guns more often injure themselves accidentally than use their illegal guns to intentionally injure others. A good example of this may be reflected in a news story reported on February 11th, where two drunk people were goofing around when one drunk challenged the other to shoot him with a cigarette butt. And I'll quote from the guy, to see what it felt like. So, the other drunk voter had an anti-rifle with a cigarette butt, but he also placed black powder behind the cigarette butt, you know, make sure they could actually get out of the chamber. So at 7 feet, one drunk shot the other with cigarette butts, but the nicotine filters penetrated the wrist cage of the 31-year-old. The man who made that challenge later died of three cigarette butts in the heart. It was reported on March 7th that Colorado police pulled over, if we could only get the first name for the reports of this villain, Gerald. because of his erratic driving. Now, Gerald didn't know that he was only being pulled over for his erratic driving. He thought he was pulled over because it was a stolen car, and they'd find out that he had stolen this car. So when the police pulled him over, Gerald decided to flee from the stolen car and the police by foot. As the police chased Gerald, he tried to stop them while he was running by pulling out his 9mm semi-automatic handgun and started blindly firing over his shoulder. Now, we don't know if Gerald thought that he had eyes in the back of his head, or we don't know if he's capable of walking and shooting gun at the same time, but he wasn't capable of being able to run and shoot a gun over his shoulder at the same time, because he shot round after round, and during the process actually shot himself in the head while he was running. Four shots were fired, none of them were fired by police officers, but the police later found Gerald's pistol lying on the ground next to him. Gerald died in the hospital, and the next day, a victim of his own gunfire. There's a diversion from the gun story to one guy who died on this one. An attempted knife robbery was reported on February 12th, but it was unsuccessful because the three knife-wielding robbers decided to hold up a slaughterhouse. There were butchers in the slaughterhouse, and they're very used to effectively using sharp blades on large objects. The butchers stabbed two of the three robbers to death. The third man managed to escape and left by car. Now, after a car chase, the third only living thief pulled over and left from his car. But instead of fleeing the underbrush where he might have been able to hide himself, he ran into the highway and tried to dodge then heavy traffic. Within seconds, that third knife-wielding slaughterhouse robber was run over by a large truck, killing him. One more piece about guns here. A crime spree in February in Washington State was not thought through, as the would-be robber chose H&J leather and firearms as his target for money. Beyond choosing a gun shop as his target, he chose the strike during opening hours, when the shop was full of firearms customers and owners. Lastly, the robber had to step past a marked police car parked at the front door. Once the robber saw the officer, he announced the holdup and fired a few shots. Let's remind you again that this holdup was taking place at a gun shop, where he walked in and fired a shot. So as his would-be robber fired shots, the police officer and a clerk fired back, as did several customers with guns. The robber was killed, but no one else was hurt. Terrorism has been growing for years. One year before 9/11, Iraqi terrorist Tahir Hajnet mailed a letter bomb, but didn't use enough postage. Well, his letter bomb came back to him, marked return to sender. Tahir Hajnet opened that letter bomb, blowing himself up to the torso. That's our news for the evening, but we would like to close with one editorial from this reporter. Now, I'm sure if any of you out there have listened to talk radio, you'll be going through the same things that I go through when I hear radio talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh and John Hannity, and after listening to our religious presence, I hear these radio talk show hosts praise the life from an unborn child, or try to say Terry Schiavo on life support. I know some even run charities to try to help natural disaster victims. Kind people, these Republicans. But then I hear that Texas, our president's state, has put like 10 times more prisoners to death than any other state since like the 70s. And then I hear Republicans protest the Supreme Court's decision that minors shouldn't get the death penalty. Well, when I hear about their love of life, and then I hear about their hatred of life, I wondered if I was the only one who saw their moral confusion. So when I hear these radio talk show hosts get on their high horses over the radio waves, downplaying anyone's arguments and galloping away on their steed, I'd like to call in to ask them the question. Excuse me, I see that you Republicans seem to revere life so much. From the unborn to those on life support who need our help. So I have to ask, How can you support the death penalty? How can you revere some lives and then decide to exterminate someone who's committed a crime? I've heard you talk about your evils of abortion, but why, when it's wrong to kill a fetus, a life yet to breathe on its own, why is it okay to kill people who have been breathing for years? But hey, Mr. President, when our country is now so far in debt because of your quote-unquote war, maybe we could start to save money by not killing people? I mean, the death penalty doesn't deter, and it costs more taxpayer money when every man on death row gets appeal after appeal after appeal, while every taxpayer still pays for the court costs and the judge costs and the government-appointed lawyer costs. And hell, with the death penalty, with all these people on death row, we're still paying for their food and their keep in prison for years and years. I've heard people say, oh, I'm getting the death penalty? Oh, that means I'll live longer because they're staying there for that long. So if we spend more money killing people than keeping them in prison for life, why don't we learn to be more moral and cut financial corners and help the economy out? But I'm sure the talk show radio host would cut me off discussing the heinousness of their crimes. And that's when I try to ask them, who made them the judge? I've heard death penalty supporters claim that the Bible supports the death penalty, though they never say where.
Yeah.
I suppose that in the Old Testament, you know, God killed entire towns, flooded the earth, but according to their religion, God is the judge, not them. I've heard these supporters say that they're religious Christians, like our wonderful president, and then they say they support an eye for an eye, which is when I wonder why they're referencing the Old Testament. Not that there's anything wrong with the Old Testament, but they're referencing the Old Testament and not their Christian New Testament. They're not listening to Jesus' words when he tells them to ignore what his father said, but do as he does and love one another. Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Killing someone is terribly turning the other cheek. I mean, where is a Christian forgiveness when they sentence people to death? And wait a minute, do these Christian people believe that Jesus would support their death sentences? It makes me think of terrorists who support killing people who don't believe in their God, in their way. And we find terrorist behavior abhorrent as we sit here behind our mighty Constitution, deciding who lives and who dies. But our Christian president likes playing God, because apparently the presidency mustn't be enough for him. I guess President Bush is now running this casino, and he just keeps saying to himself, you know, because he has to be right, that the House always wins. This is Janet Kuiper reporting. Thank you for listening to this very tiny job. It is your presidency.
All right.
Have I really toned down our lack of respect?